Please join me in the morning prayer as you find it on the top of page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Text before us is taken from the 25th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with the 31st verse, and our Lord here speaks of the great judgment scene. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Recently, Saddam Hussein was in court for the reading of his verdict. He's presently awaiting the appeals process to begin to challenge that. It's interesting, if you saw any of the images of him from that court proceeding the day his verdict was read, he looks like a rather different man than what we saw in videotape of him about 4 years ago. He looked rather afraid and frazzled and nervous and very uptight, which is understandable. We're told that the mass murderer Charles Manson, during his trial at some point, lashed out and yelled at the judge, "Someone ought to cut off your head." And yet the day of the reading of his verdict in front of that same judge, his lawyer records that his hands were trembling in fear. Frequently, criminals who have gone and committed a heinous crime and have done so very, very crassly and openly, when it finally comes to them coming into the court scene and before the judge, they have a new haircut, they have a suit on, they look about as meek and clean and mild as you could ever get. Coming before justice brings out and evokes a different mood in us. It causes us to look a little bit differently at ourselves and at the prospect for our future. It's hard to think of any scene for us that can bring us to more of a sense of intimidation than the scene of the great judgment that Christ lays before us in our text. Just try to picture this in your mind again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. Think of that. And he will separate them one from another. This mass of humanity, we're still not going to be able to somehow hide in the amount, in some type of obscurity, because he's going to separate one from the other. There's going to be this great division in this judgment scene. Now, sometimes in this life, we like to kind of talk about the judgment scene lightheartedly, and we make little jokes about it now and then. But you know, when the reality of this scene really is taken into heart and comes upon us, it's one that can evoke a lot of fear in us. To think of having to face God, not just a human judge, not just someone that can determine things about this life, but God, the God of all authority, the God of holiness, the God of perfection, and the God who has such power and authority and control over us that he can determine an eternal outcome for where we will be forever. And what a drastic difference between these two groups that he separates. And to think that in this life and in this world, even with human judges, we can try as best we can to manipulate how we are seen by them by hiding the truth. But that is not the case with this judge. This is the one that peers right into us, who penetrates down into our bones, dividing joint and marrow. We're told in the book of Hebrews, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, why is it that you and I feel intimidated by the judgment scene? Is it because we're human? No, it's not because we're human. Adam and Eve at one time faced God and spoke with him and weren't intimidated prior to the fall. It's sin. It's the sin that's in my heart, that's in my conscience, that my own little judge in my heart knows well, is well aware of. It's that sin inside of each one of us that makes us feel such great intimidation. And this verdict that he pronounces has such finality. Now, in this text before us, our Lord Jesus has put in a hidden message for his church. He has stuck into this secret coding for us so that we're not intimidated by this. Think about all of the different images that Jesus could have used in depicting himself in the judgment scene. The God of Sinai. The God who determines all of the events in weather that are so traumatic. A powerful king. But what image does he evoke instead? What image does he draw of himself? A shepherd. The good shepherd. So that those who are the members of his church will get it. In the same way that the shepherd divides sheep from the goats, this is the image that Jesus wants us to have when we think about him in the judgment scene. The good shepherd. The very one who we know from the rest of Scripture has gone and laid down his life for the sheep, put himself completely in harm's way so they would never have to face that harm. The one who even to this day bears the wounds of his victory over the devil in his hands and side. The one who has gone to the cross, laid down his life for the sheep to protect them, and then took it back up again. And the one who has that rod in his hand and the staff, the very things that he has used in your life through his word to guide you back onto the path of salvation, that hook on the top of his staff from his word that comes when you've wandered off to the cliffs of sin, that comes and grabs you by the neck and pulls you back away from that dangerous thing through repentance, causing you to realize how you've disobeyed God and how important it is to come back to his grace and forgiveness and his mercy. The one that through the word and sacrament that he gives you leads you through the green pastures of his word, and who's going to have his sheep feed forever in the pastures of heaven. You know, you can, every possible comforting teaching that there is in the Bible that can warm our hearts, you can make a direct connection of it from that to the good shepherd image. That's how complete and full it is. If you think about it, when you were a little child and you first learned about Jesus, wasn't that one of the greatest images you can think of? I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. What more comforting, wonderful picture could Jesus have chosen? What else could he have picked that would give you such assurance, such positive reassurance and comfort about the judgment scene than the picture of him as your loving, tender, good shepherd? And so you and I, right now, when we think about the judgment scene, we might still tremble, and Jesus knows that. But he wants you to know today you don't have to, because he himself has been judged on your behalf. And through faith in him, you are holy and righteous before God. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. O little flock, fear not the foe. Amen.